This is a continuation of the April 6th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 511 for property ID 220028000. The property is owned by Daniel Bynan and Patricia Bynan, and it's under trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Daniel Bynan and Patricia Bynan present over the phone for the appellant. You don't both have to speak, and I know I can't see you, but whoever would like to, please raise your right hand, and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Well, first question I have is, did you get the material we sent with the photos and the comparables?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll start, and my wife, Pat, can jump in if she wants. But the first thing I want to address is, if you look at the photos, we built the house in 2006. The picture of the house just shows kind of the perspective if you look towards the back where the view would be. And I made a diagram of, on the other photo, of when it was originally assessed, and in fact, probably when it was looked at more recently. The original view was, I drew that. We had an incredible view. And I drove the current view. It's got a tree in the middle of it. But from our patio or from our living area, unless you walk to our master bedroom, and typically we're there at night, you don't see much. The current view is probably 30% of what the original view is, and I think a lot of the value may be based on the view, which our neighbor has planted trees in, and they're about, I'm going to guess, 60 feet high and growing. And, in fact, there's a deciduous tree off to the right. It's not even in leaf when I took the picture, which even it's an oak tree, which degrades the view even more. So that's the first point we wanted to make. Any comment on that? Or
nope, I understand it.
And I don't know how much that has to do with the value. I'm assuming it has some, because that's part of the criteria you use in the comparables. The next thing is on sale number one, it's across Oak Road from us, which is a private road. It's significantly less. The sale price was quite a bit less than our assessed value. The assessed value is less, obviously. I know it's not your thing. It has a much better view. It's been remodeled to the point where it was a single-story ranch house. It was remodeled to a two-story over about a 2 or 3 year period, a long process from the previous owner. And it has quite a few square feet. So I just wanted to point that out, and that is, where is that one, 1166 South Oak Road. So it has a comparable square footage and I think about as much property. It's half an acre, well, usable property. The lower part of our acreage is called sensitive lands, and it goes down to a steep gully, and you can't build on it. So we don't really have 0.94 acres of usable space. They have a half acre of usable space. And I'm not sure what the code, the zoning RLD-6 is versus RLD-4, but there's a little bit different. But they have an unobstructed view. So that's the first point on the comparables I wanted to make. The second is, we tried to stay close, and we drove around doing comparables. 295 South Hillhurst, which is number three, actually more total square foot, because it has a basement area. And incredible view, same 3.5 baths, 4 bedrooms, and you look at the sales price on that, and it's quite a bit less. That's just down the street from us on on Hillhurst. And then the other one I want to point out, and we did, I think, six of them. Number one on the second sheet, which if you see, it's 213 Riverview Drive. It actually is up on a height. It's been remodeled, totally remodeled. Now, ours is built in 2006. This was remodeled in 2015, I believe it said. And it's only 0.4 acres, but it's got a pool, and the view is to die for. So, and it's about 2,300 square feet. It's an older home that's been totally remodeled, and I don't know how much that plays into it, but I would think with that pool and the view would have a lot to do with it. And it's significantly less.
And not only does it have a pool, it has a pool outdoor living area that they've put in with barbecue and stuff. So our house is, you know, it's not a fancy home. I know that it looks really nice on the outside. The inside is really nice, but it's not a fancy home by any shape of the imagination. So that's
the main points I wanted to make. Do you have any questions for us? So ours is almost 17 years old. It just seems like it's a little bit out of sync with the areas around. And I know we're not supposed to talk about comps, so I won't, but I could if you want me to, of close houses. But anyway, assessed values. Any questions on your end?
I don't have any more questions.
Anything else that we should be looking at to make this argument, in your opinion? We read the material. It's pretty extensive, but I don't know if this is enough to point out our case to you, or is there something we're doing wrong?
Or any questions that you have?
What on your comparable pages, you've got numbers at the bottom, and what do those represent?
That's your row says final assessed value is what that says. That's your form.
Oh, yeah. That's assessed value? Got it. Okay.
It's a little blurry.
Yeah, I know. It's my printer was running out of ink, and I should have gotten more, but I wanted to get this off because we were leaving for a couple of days, and I didn't want to miss the deadline. So,
do you need us to tell you what those numbers are?
No, I can see the numbers. I can't read the caption. I don't.
Yeah, it says final adjusted value. Excuse me, is what it says. Final adjusted value.
Yeah, that's what I don't. Okay. What is the number that you put in there? Is that the assessed value?
Yeah, that's what I thought that was, because that's what the adjusted value is. The sales is at the sales price is at the top.
Yeah, I understand that. But what the objective is, if you see that adjustment column there, that is if you it's designed so that you can put in an estimated adjustment for a difference in each one of those categories. In other words, for instance, where you have the size of yard, you know, you have 0.94 acres and they have 0.5. Does that create an adjustment that you believe would be necessary to make that property comparable to yours?
Well, I don't know enough about the inside of their home to do that. I didn't understand that part, I guess, but
yeah. Most people
don't think
that part.
Yeah, and our property, like Dan said, we've got 0.94 acres, and probably, I mean, you know, we haven't surveyed it or anything like that or even measured it, but I'd say probably, you know, 0.3 of that is unusable land.
You can see from the picture the way your backyard
it drops off.
Yeah. I don't have any questions.
Okay. There's a lower level we don't use. We did a wall so we could put in a yard, but then it drops off, and then it drops off really steep in the corner. And I don't know if the fact that they're going to put either a dog park or something next to us affects it, but I know that's probably the next assessment. So yeah. I don't really have any.
Your comparable number one, the one on 1166 South Oak, is that next door to you, or is it?
It's directly across Oak Road, so it's just to the north of us, across the private road, and that's the house that was, well, like you say, the guy didn't want to pay impact fees, so he left like a section of it there, and he built a second story, and he totally redid it, very modern, probably. He probably worked on it for 2 years, but landscaped it, and then it's a totally, you wouldn't even recognize the old house if I try to describe it.
No.
It was probably a 60s house, and he made it into a 2000, 18 or 19, modern house. You could look at the picture on the front, but it wouldn't even look anything like what it was before when we moved in.
And it's the same thing. You can't see their back deck, but they're where the front of their home is when you
go to the other side.
On the west side, that whole side of their home is got an incredible view with
cook station and all that.
Right, cook station and deck and all of that kind of stuff. And they put in all new landscaping with the new owners and flattened out the property so it was very usable. And so,
yeah, that's one thing they have. We don't. There's a usable below them. If they wanted to put in another structure or something, they could do that. We can't.
So. Got it. All right.
Okay. I don't have any questions on it.
No, nor do I.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your time.
You'll hear from us within 3 days.
Okay, we'll just come in the mail. We'll see what happens then.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 6th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 682 for property ID 986-030-277. The property is owned by John K. Kell and Pamela K. Kell. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have John and Pamela Kell present over video chat for the appellant. You don't both have to speak, but whoever would like to, go ahead and raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I think go first with what you presented.
Well, so we have the comps. Have you had an opportunity to review the comps?
Yes.
Okay. The biggest point that it's important to make is that the major differences between our home, 1301 and 1303, is our home. 1301, the original owner saw the house when the house was being built. So those two owners picked out their cabinets, the flooring, the lighting fixtures, all the appliances, and even the toilets, and they're all very high end and upgraded.
And just to add to that, 1301, which is the house, one house next to us, it was a custom built home. The developer worked with the two original owners following a design that they did, that they submitted to him and worked with architects, et cetera. And it was definitely a property designed to be, if best use in this meeting, is a top tier property relating to the type of appliances that they put in, toilets, hardware, fixtures, lighting, backsplash on the counters in the kitchen. Based on the photos, I think that we submitted, a lot of what we're mentioning can be visibly viewed. And then I think the second property that Pamela put in the proposal is 1307, which is a house that we can basically say is next to us. It's slightly below us because of the geography. And as you can see on the selling price, it was what,
920.
Yeah, it sold for $920,000. And as we've come before you each year to present our thoughts and comments and information on our property, I thought it might be good to also give some additional information about the development and the building of this 7-home development that I think applies to, you know, how we feel the value of our home is. Our home was the last built. There's a total of 7 properties here. We were the last home that was built of the 7 that is on this hill. From the look of the property, the physical appearance, we are entirely different from all other 6 homes. From a livable space component, we are vastly different from the other 6 homes in the development, specifically meaning that as we were the last home built, our home is built onto the side of a hill, and it's a slope. It's a fairly extreme slope. And as we were told when we moved in, we were the second owners of the property. The owners below us at 1301, which were the originals, they were on site quite a bit when their home was being completed. And it was expressed to them by the developer that he was challenged by our particular lot, what to do with it, and how could it fit in with the rest of this development. If you're on site to my earlier comment about the physical appearances of the home, you can see that significantly different. So like 1301 is a very modern home. There are 3 other homes out of the total of 7 that follow that look that are extremely modern. There are 2 what I would call very traditional homes. One would be 1307 that we've submitted, and then the other one, I think, is 1315, which is right above us. And they're more of they look alike. They're traditional. And ours is more of a, ranch. I'd almost say that it's a ranch-style home. So as it was expressed to us by our neighbors, the developer did say it was a challenge, so he came up with a plan to put basically the living space on the top level, which is comprised of, by the plans we have, 3,460 square feet. If you want to get to the second level in our home, which is 365 square feet only, you must go down 18 steps to get to that level. And I would describe those stairs as beyond, you know, a normal stairway in a house. There's a steeper pitch to them. And there would be, let's say, in 1307 or 1301 or any of the other homes that are in this development. So that room is 365 square feet. Then if you want to get to our lower level, you have to go down another 12 steps to get to a room that they built down there, which is a total of 672 square feet. It is right next to a garage. That room is not tied into the central heating system of the home. So the best way that I can say it is he put something down there, assigned it in the plans as a room, but it's not living space. So with no heating system down there tied into the central, the only thing we can do is use heaters that we would put in. And I can only tell you that during the winter months, it's not you cannot live down there. You cannot spend any time down there. You can't watch television down there if there was a TV in there. It's just what he did with the plans based on what space and the slope of the geography that was available to him. So I bring that up specifically to point out what our lot is like. And then in comparison to the other homes in our development, each one of these 6 homes is what we would term as totally livable space. You can walk in the front door. You can go out a back door. You can access a backyard from your back door in any of those homes. None of them are built onto the side of a hill. So at this point, I'd like to say, you know, we purchased the home. We're very happy with the home. We live up on this first floor, and it works for us at this point in our lives. But again, there are significant differences between the other homes in our development. If we just look at ours at 1303 and look at 1301, which is the one next to us, physically, internally, dramatically different. Our yard, which there was a little grass area at the bottom, is approximately 250 to 300 square feet. And the only way that you can access our backyard is there is no back door on the house. You either have to go down these 30 steps, walk out of the garage to get to it, or you'd have to walk down our front road, go down a hill, and then walk into a back road to access the backyard. So unlike the other six homes, they can access their yard through a back from their house. I bring all this information up only because I know that we've met with you each and every year. We appreciate your time, but thought it might be important to really point out some of the significant differences of how they were constructed and what these houses look like. And I just want to add one more comment. There was an eighth home in the construction plans here by the developer. It is at the bottom of our hill and just several hundred feet down to the right. It's at 555 Northwest Mitchell Street. That home is also built onto the side of a hill, similar to ours. It's 4,040 square feet. It just sold in August of 2022 for $887,000. That would be the best comparison to our home. And also point out that that home was one of the first built. The developer lived in that home while he finished seven homes in the rest of the development.
So would you like to go through the comps, or do you?
We've read them all.
You've gone over them. Mm-hmm. So that, for example, even though our house was assessed at $1.2 million, there's homes, the three homes on the second sheet, the second worksheet, are all even less than $1.2 million. And yet they either have amazing views or several other features that would be considered far more desirable than our home. And the point that John made is that we do love our home works for us, but the floor plan is going to be, going to suit some people, and like young families, it's probably not going to suit at all. Just because the master bedroom is on one side on the far south side of the house, and then the other three bedrooms are much further beyond the common areas, and the two bedrooms that likely would be children's bedrooms are on the far north end of the house. I guess unless you have teenagers, maybe if you have teenagers, you want them far away from your bedroom.
So the 3,400 square feet is all that main living area, and then it's just 672 in one room and 365 in the other. That are downstairs. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
So do you have a view out of your property, a river view or?
No, we anything? Don't. No, we don't have any view. But the view is our neighbor's homes, but we don't like have a view at all.
You know, river, and our back view out of the back of our home is a development below us, a next neighborhood over.
Which is on Mitchell. I want to say it's Mitchell Court.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of placed it in my mind from looking at the map. You're right there by near that traffic circle coming into Camas. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have any other questions on it.
No, I don't have any other questions.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Well, thank you again for your
thank
time.
You again
we
for
we
your
do
time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Be well.
Thanks.
Okay, and then Dan, are you good?
Close the hearing.
This is the April 6, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 466 for property ID 186-242-000. The property is owned by Scott LeBon and Becky LeBon. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I'll hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 6, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We're currently reviewing late files. First one is from Matthew R. Hoffman and Kimberly Hoffman. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no appellant, so we'll go ahead and start with this one. So for Hoffman, it is parcel 198-836-005. It's a late filing good cause request. They used reason code E, which is the taxpayer was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because of a delay or loss related to the delivery of the petition by the Postal Service. The taxpayer must be able to provide documentation from the Postal Service of such a delay or loss. And the reason states, I was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because of a loss of delivery related to the U.S. Postal Service or mail theft. And then that's from Matthew Hoffman. And it looks like it's mostly just the petition form and a tax bill.
Okay.
Sounds okay to me.
Okay. The second one is Eric and Jennifer Griffin. It is tax parcel 986-055845. This one's a request for reconvening. Using reconvening code 1, which is the taxpayer submits a sworn affidavit to the board stating the notice of change of value for the assessment year was not received at least 15 days prior to the deadline for filing the petition and can show proof that the value was actually changed. The request must be filed by April 30th, which they've met. So reason code 1 on their form says, I did not receive my 2022 notice of value and tax assessment for the 2023 tax year. Upon logging in to pay my 2023 tax bill, I discovered that my 2023 tax assessment rose from $9,617 to $16,140. So it must be their tax bill. This is an increase of 68%. My home is recorded as 4,299 square feet on an 11,000 square foot building lot. There are no additional living or recreation structures on the property, no pool, etc. No changes have been made to the home. This tax assessment and percent increase is highly disproportionate with all the other homes in my community and specifically my immediate neighbors. My home is one of the smaller, lesser valued homes in my neighborhood. Most of the homes in my neighborhood are much larger on larger lots with some pools and views. Your area is much lower than my home. These neighboring homes were also built at the same time. I have provided a list of the homes of my immediate neighbors, house size, lot size, additional amenities showing the difference.
Did he get his... He did not get his notice of value, right?
Yes, that's the reason.
I forgot what the reason was.
So he used reason code 1, just saying he did not receive the notice.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yes, that is superfluous.
Nothing. Okay.
I'll be right.
So I am good to go. If you go ahead and close it, then we're done with late files.
Close it.
This is a continuation of the April 6th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 684 for property ID 122-152-000. The property is owned by Susan E. Malveaux. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I'll hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 6, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 500 for property ID 986-028-960. The property is owned by Bradford J. McLean and Mary McKay McLean. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Mary McLean present over the phone for the appellant. Mary, I know we can't see you, but go ahead and raise your right hand, and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I swear.
Thank you.
I don't like lying.
Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, I understand. I have been through this twice before.
Okay.
Well, I am not sure where the assessor gets the numbers. I have presented 13 comparable sales, all within 1,500 to 1,700 square feet, single-story homes. Our house is 1,661 square feet, single-story. Our house is almost 11 years old, and many of the comparables I provided are actually built within the last 2 years, which should make them more valuable than our home because ours is getting kind of long in the tooth. The assessor estimated our home's value at $501,974, but my calculations came out at $436,200. And most of the comparables I came up with were within about a mile of our home, which makes them very comparable to what our value should be.
How did you come up with that?
I had to use Zillow. What?
Pardon me?
What did you say?
How did you come up with that $436,200?
I found 13 comparable homes within 150 square feet, well, 700.
I understand all that, but how's that number derived?
I took the comparables, I added them up, and I divided them by 13.
Okay.
Very simple math, but average. It's simple math. Most of them are very close to our home, some within a mile. Some of them are actually within our HOA. A comparable number two in my supplemental is actually about two blocks away, and it came in at $415,000 for the sale price. It's the same age as our house. It sold on March 23rd of last year. And then there's one that's on green that's a couple blocks away that actually sold at $515,000. But it has upgrades that our house doesn't, and has an office. So you have to look at what's there. There's a lot of new homes that actually sold for considerably less. So it's like, I don't know where they got the value of 501. It just does. I don't really see it. I only found one that was over $500,000.
Mary, what year was your house built?
2012.
Can I ask?
It will be 11 years old next month.
Next year, if you appeal, there's a form that you can pull off. Right along with your petition, and it's a worksheet. In the far left column, you list all the details on your house, and then all the other columns are to list comparables. And you can copy off as many of those as you want if you want to give us 13 comps. It makes it a lot easier for us and it gives us more detail on your home as well as the comparable sales that you're using. And Michelle, if you didn't see it or if you missed it?
Well, before I used to be able to get that, and somehow I couldn't get all the information from your website that I used to be able to, and I had to go to Zillow.
Okay, no, I'm talking about the worksheet that we provide.
Michelle? Yeah, I couldn't find the worksheet this time.
Okay.
I don't know why.
The worksheet I don't know what Zillow would have to do with the worksheet. I mean,
I know, but I couldn't find your worksheet.
It's just the next page of the form.
Yeah, then call the office if you can't, and they'll walk you through it or email it to you or whatever if you can't find it.
Yeah, pages of
it.
It's the very next
page. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was having some issues with your website this time. I have used it before and had no problem. I don't know why I was having web issues with it because everything was online. When I could print it out and do it, did it much better. I don't know why I was having issues with it. I should have contacted you.
Michelle and Allison are very helpful.
So. Yeah, I will do that next time.
Okay.
I don't have any questions on you.
Excuse me? You don't have any questions?
No.
No, I don't. I don't know about the rest of the board, but I don't.
I got it.
No.
I don't have any questions.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I mean, I spent 8 years in mortgage banking. I can read an appraisal. Kind of helps.
All right.
That's why I kind of think that the assessor's office pulls their numbers out of thin air, but that's my opinion. And next year, if I can't find the comparable form, I was just having fits with the everything being online and pulling all and submitting it, and it was just, oh God,
I
it was really hard last year.
And that a lot. So just call Michelle.
Yeah, Mary.
I will. Thank you.
It looks like you submitted yours possibly through the portal this year. The portal's an option, but you're certainly not required to use it if you'd rather do it through the paper form or through the PDF form. So you can always just go onto the Board of Equalization's documents page and get it there and just do it that way.
That might be easier because I usually use Safari because I have a Mac and I hate using Chrome. And I was having fits with the portal. So I'm going to try to do it the other way and just do it analog.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
It'd be much easier. Yeah, because I will be doing it again if they try to mess with me again.
Okay.
Because why not?
That's what we're here for.
I don't mind paying taxes if it's justified. I don't mind paying my fair share. I really don't, because it goes for services.
All right. Yep, we got it.
Thank you.
All right, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thanks,
man.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, and then Dan will have you close it.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 6th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 680 for property ID 115106000. The property is owned by SKN Properties. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells present as the representative for the assessor's office and Danny Bainwaite present as the representative for the appellant. So go ahead and both raise your right hand to be sworn in. Danny, I know we can't see you, but still go ahead and raise your right hand anyway.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if they don't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you, Danny, and let you further explain your appeal.
Yeah, sorry, I just opened it up. Yeah, I was looking at the value, and it jumped up. And so we're a restaurant. A sit-down restaurant, so with COVID and all that stuff, we're definitely impacted. I know that doesn't decrease the value of the building or the land, but at the same time, it didn't jump up that much either. So it seems like it jumped up almost 400,000, which is 29% change in value. So that's kind of where I was at.
And then also, we're going to start trading with.
Is there a conversation in the background?
Yeah, that's all good. I'm stepping away. Yeah, that's kind of just where I was at with as far as
far as what the assessor value is.
So you could have no quantitative information to provide us?
Well, it jumped up $400,000 in a matter of a year, so I thought that was significantly high for some building and land that we didn't do much on, right? And so it's not like the rent went up. It's not like we did any major renovation or anything on that building. So for it to jump up that much is pretty significant.
All right. So, Mary, tell us how you came up with that value.
Okay, so I do apologize. Whatever audio we're getting, I really didn't hear much of the testimony. So if I overlap something, forgive me. It's garbled over here. I know in the...
You cut out, Mary.
You're muted now.
You're muted.
It doesn't say you're muted, but the audio cut out.
Dan, you're funny. Yelling at her probably won't over.
We can't hear you.
You gonna call in?
Yeah, we can have you call in. Give me just a second. I'll get the info up.
It's okay.
Can't read it.
Oh, she's just asking for the phone number. So, Mary, over in the chat, I've got the phone number, and then there's the meeting code that it'll have you type. And then go ahead and mute the computer once you do the call. Are you able to see the chat? I can do a share screen if you need. Oh, I did that wrong. That's 2491-756-1678. I typed a 7 instead of a 1. That's the correct one. You might have to hit pound. I don't know if it needs you to do. It doesn't tell me that, but it might need that. Okay, there we go. So go ahead and mute the computer so it doesn't echo, and then I'll light you right in. Okay, there we go. Can you hear us okay? Oh, just turn the computer volume off.
don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, that's coming through just fine.
Okay, I'm having trouble figuring out how to mute the computer. All sort of ridiculous in its oddness.
We're not getting an echo.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine if that's working.
That's why I left the room. I'm now standing in my kitchen so that I can talk to you.
Okay.
So hang on just a second. Let me make sure I don't have any more background noise. So if anybody, I can't see anything visually, so if you need something, just tell me.
Okay, no worries.
So the appellant, and unfortunately I just left all my information there, but the appellant was concerned in the original petition about the increase in value from year over year and the subject property being a restaurant. In 2021, for the 1/1/21 assessment, this property was dropped considerably. I can't see without going back into the echo room, but I want to say about $300,000 in value for the year, for the assessment year. Because of COVID, we went through and we dropped all the restaurants in a similar fashion for value since they were particularly hard hit. Now, this hearing that we have here is for January 1st of 2022, and so the majority of that increase that the appellant saw on their property was due to us taking back the COVID adjustment that we had applied the prior year. So it's very typical for us that when we make a mass adjustment like that, when we bring it back, people forgot that we lowered it the year before. If you look at the evidence that we submitted with our appeal, we provided 5 comparable restaurants. Every one of the structures is a restaurant. The subject itself is a good quality structure, along with comparable number 4, which is a good quality structure. We have the subject property, the Black Bear Diners, which was built in 2008. We didn't have any of the comparables that are in within 10 years of the subject. Well, I guess comparable number 4 is within 10 years of the subject property. All of the comparables are older, and you can see I've provided photographs of each of them. The first one, the first photograph is the subject, the Black Bear Diner. Comparable number 1 is the old Elmer's building down by Comcast by the mall. And it sold in May of 22 at $237 a square foot. Comparable number 2 is the Lucius Gracias restaurant, which is off behind Chekalov and Fourth Plain. And that was purchased for $340. No place. Thank you. That was purchased in January of 2022 for $341 a square foot. Again, look at the pictures. These are inferior structures. Comparable number 3 was a Pizza Hut on Highway 99, and it sold in October of 21 for $405 a square foot. Then comparable number 4, which is the most similar to the subject in its quality. It's actually the closest to near built too, is the Sweet Tomatoes that closed down on Mill Plate. And it sold in December of 20 for $268 a square foot. And our last comparable was the Old King's Buffet. It's now been converted to retail, and it sold for $312 a square foot in February 2021. So all of these sale dates are months and months past the COVID-19 outbreak, and so they would be, the sales themselves would be reflective of the market's effect on restaurant properties.
The values are ranging from 237 a square foot to 405 a square foot. And the subject is currently valued at $281 a square foot. So we feel that our subject falls at the lower end of the market range for restaurant properties. And that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
I don't have any questions.
Where's the Muchas Gracias? I'm not.
It's right behind the Taco Bell on 120th and Mill Plain.
Okay. So it's not on Mill Plain, it's on someplace else. So.
Yeah, it's on this of the street behind it, which is full of potholes, but it's real close to Mill Plain.
The Pizza Hut on Highway 99 and Sweet Tomatoes and King Buffet have a probably more superior location than Elmer's.
Than Elmer's and Muchas. Yeah.
Elmer's is a better location than Muchas Gracias. That's the worst one of all of them.
That is definitely the most superior. And the subject itself is quite visible on 164th Avenue and First Street. It gets quite a bit of traffic and visibility.
Okay, I got it. Any questions, Danny?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay, Lisa, John?
No.
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, I think we have the picture. Anything else you want to add, Danny?
Nope. Thank you. Sorry about the phone mix-up.
No, no problem.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, bye, guys.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 6, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 331 for property ID 481-70060. The property is owned by Edward J. Tomeyer and Georgine Tomeyer. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Edward Tomeyer present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
That's right.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth on a penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, I will remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. First question is, last year was a blur. Was anyone there at last year's presentation from me? Everyone or no one? I don't remember.
Well, it's the same three that it was last year.
It is. Okay. I don't know if you remember me. The first half of this presentation is going to be really close to last year's because, in my opinion, the same issues still apply. And as I opined last year at this time, I said I'll probably see you this year at this time. so basically, hang on. I have to share my...
We have all your information in front of us if you don't need to share it unless you really want to.
Yeah, let me. I think it's this one. Yeah. Okay, because the thing is I'm going to jump around a little bit here too. So the basic issue here is not that I'm concerned that my taxes went up too much in one year based on comparable sales or any of those kinds of issues. My issue is that I don't believe that my property is being evaluated in the same way as the other properties on the same floor of my condominium. Right away, on this first, second paragraph, you can see that the average price per square foot year over year increase for my entire floor without my property in it was 7.8% for the time period we're discussing, with a range of 5 to 9%. But once again, my property's price per square foot value increased 24.4% year over year.
Did we reduce your value last year?
You did, but the county started back at, they didn't, as far as I can tell, that made no difference on this year's price increase, but the 24.4% does, this does take into account the reduction in price to now is the 24.4%, yes.
Yeah, let me just tell you, they don't, our decision is only good for 1 year,
right?
First of all. Second of all, they don't even go from their own last year's number. They put your property in a model based on sales that have occurred in the prior year. They then set up a model in their computer, and then they just compare your statistics to that model, and whatever pops out, it pops out. It isn't an increase from the prior year. It's just strictly a number that pops out of their model. So it really doesn't matter what their number was last year or what our number was last year. It's whatever that particular characteristics and everything produces out of their model.
Exactly, yes. And I'm proposing that the model is incorrect.
It may very well be.
Okay. So, because, again, as you can see, where we were, if you jump down like 3 or 4 pages, this is the picture last year that I presented to you. And you can see that prior, this goes back to 2015, and this is the price per square foot since 2015. My unit is this thick blue line, and you can see that up until 2020, everything tracked with all of my neighbors. Everybody looked about the same. And then last year, all of a sudden, boom, they changed to the cost tables method on my unit, which is that computer model. And you can see that clearly my unit is completely, totally differently modeled than the rest of the units on my floor. So I'm also going to remind that what I'm saying is that I understand that typically you wouldn't be able to use your neighbor's assessments, but in this particular case, I live in a condominium tower on the 10th floor. So all of these units were all built the same developer. They were all built the same year. The concrete under my feet, over my head, were all poured on the same day by the same contractors with the same rebar, the wire footings. You know, the hallways have the same carpet, drywall, paint, you know, everything, sewer, electric, everything is exactly the same in all of these floors or units on this floor. The only differences that we can find to evaluate the appraised value is going to be what's inside of the units, okay? And I understand why in general you're not supposed to use your neighbors. If I go a couple of blocks north from here, you're going to find single family dwellings on the same block. And I understand you could have a tar paper shack and a McMansion or a mansion sitting side by side. That's just almost impossible to compare those two things. You could have two mansions side by side. One could be built in 1915. One could be built in 2015. Really difficult to compare them. None of those differences apply to any of the construction of all of the units on this floor. Furthermore, I am asserting that although there was one comparable that was actually on my floor, unit 1027, it's a mansion. And comparatively speaking, I live in a tar paper shack, and I do not believe that my unit should be compared using the same cost table calculations as my neighbors. For example, if you jump down to just even on page 2, I have a comparison grid here, you know, showing 1027's larger than mine. my price per square footage is higher. Okay, my unit didn't sell for 541 square feet, price, dollars per square foot. Why is mine higher in the first place? Okay, that makes no sense to me. Right out of the gate, you can see that there's something wrong. We're talking two bedrooms versus my one bedroom, two bathrooms versus my one bathroom. They've got decks. I don't have a deck that's usable. They've
now, these are assessed values, right?
Yes. Okay. I've been inside of that unit. It's been upgraded at least once. Mine has never been upgraded. Okay.
Let me ask you a quick question first. Do you have any sales of property on a per square foot basis?
Well, yeah. 1027 was sold for $531 a square foot.
Okay. This is the one that sold, actually.
That's correct.
And when did it sell?
So it is sale price. It's not assessed value.
However the county arrived at that 531, I'm assuming that it had something to do with the sales price, yeah.
So county values, not sales. You're looking at assessed values?
At the moment, yeah, but I believe if we jump down here to the comparable sales chart, it looks like...
Yeah, which I couldn't see.
I can't read it at all.
Mine is so small that even with a
I understand. Yeah, it's like it's sold for like I think it's $862,000.
But and what date was it? What date did it sell?
Oh shoot, sorry. Well, it would have been in the time period that we're talking about. I don't know what date it was. Maybe November 1st, 2021. Yeah, sale date.
Yes.
Yep.
And what's the sale price per square foot?
Oh, man, I need to do some math on that, I guess. What did I say it was? 800 and...
Isn't that on this one? That's assessed value on here, right? The 850-446 is assessed value. That's not...
Yeah, I think, I got that right out of their tables, the county's tables.
We're looking for sales, not assessed values.
Right, but it's got to be, supposed to be based on it, right? It must have jumped up a bunch.
You'd be surprised.
862,745 divided by, I don't suppose anyone remember, what did I just say that the square footage was? 1381. So if I divide by 1381, I got to move this out of the way again, like $625 a square foot.
If you appeal next year, there's a really simple form that's provided for you online.
Mm-hmm.
It's a worksheet, and one column you list the information about your property, and the other three columns are comparable sales, because this one's really hard to read. In fact, I kind of skipped over it because it was so small. So just keep that in mind if you appeal next year.
So if they were sold for $625 a square foot, mm-hmm. and yours is valued at $541 a square foot,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's not much room to argue there.
Oh, except that the rest of the people on my floor are down around $400 a square foot.
You're talking about assessed values now, not...
Yep.
Market values.
We're not talking about assessed values. We need to talk about market value sales. All we can use are the sales values, not the assessed values.
Well, I'm paying taxes on the assessed values. And what I'm saying is
that, but
what I'm saying
you
is
have
that
to compare, the law says you have to be valued at fair market value. And all of them may be wrong and they didn't appeal or they're wrong, but this one's, you're saying this one sold at $625 a square foot, which is market value. Somebody paid that for it, and that's what proves market value. All the assessed values are meaningless to the determination of fair market value, and if they're wrong, the assessor erred in making them wrong. But this one sold at $625, which is market value in accordance with the law.
Well, how do I appeal errors then?
you give comparable sales that support
you have
a lower
comparable
value.
Sales, and that's the comparable sale you have. Not
other assessed value. You don't use other assessed values. You use other huge sales.
Okay, but I can't use a mansion to apply to a home that isn't in that same grade. It's not a comparable. It's not comparable.
If you discount it substantially, you're still substantially over what yours is valued at.
Yeah, I'm way over.
Valued at $625 a square foot. You're at $541 a square foot.
We're talking about comparing sales now. You're comparing other assessed values. You can look at other condominiums in downtown Vancouver, find something that you think is comparable.
There's only one. There's only one. It wasn't comparable because, again, it's built on, it's like almost three times the square footage of mine. It's like a newer construction. It's in a different building. It's
you divide by square foot and get a per square foot, you're putting it back on the same basis as yours on a per square foot basis. And you're saying that it's more than whatever that difference is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. All I'm saying is that it's supposed to be, you know, fair, reasonable, accurate. And again, you know, looking at this year's assessment, you can see that the thick blue line here, there, my unit is not being assessed in the same way that the rest of my neighbors are.
I guess you could go into the assessor's office and show them what you have here and talk to them and see if they want to come out and visit your condo and, you know, see what the differences are, but based on comparable sales, which is what we have to use by law, we don't have a lot of flexibility at this point. I think we all understand what you're saying.
Now, your chart says that the price per square foot of assessed value, I'm looking at the top of whatever page that is. You should number your pages, too, when you send them in.
Yeah, I missed
it says yours price per square foot is higher than everybody else's.
Yes.
And that may be true, and you may be assessed incorrectly, but you haven't proved it by comparing it to other assessed values. I mean, they may all be wrong.
I'm not sure I follow.
You're comparing assessed values. We're telling you need to compare sales. That's the basic difference. You're continuing to talk about assessed values, and we're saying to justify the price you think your condo's worth, you have to find comparable sales that have actually sold in the last 12 months. So we don't use any assessed values. If you understand that, then you understand what the basic difference is. So next time you appeal, you should use comparable sales.
Well, okay.
I don't know. We're trying to be helpful to you, and I understand there's probably not 50 or 100 condominiums that are just like yours, but you can go outside of your own building to find something that's more comparable. But you've gone through a lot of work to compare assessed values, and we can't use assessed values.
Okay, so I have to wait until the county starts charging me like $1 million a year before I can, because I mean, this picture here is my estimate of what my assessed value this year would be if I hadn't protested last year. So again, this thick blue line, you can see.
I understand that the percentage square changed because we adjusted it last year, but the price per square foot of evaluation, I mean, you don't show the calculations here, but you're saying those are all price per square foot?
This one on the top is price per square foot for myself and the same properties on the same floor. All of these ones that are not in the thick blue line are mansions. They're upgraded. They've got just massive, like, you know, single slab countertops and the thing, upgrade real wood, things like that. Mine's like the cheapest stuff you can find anywhere. You know, there's no logical reason for the county to appraise my property at such a huge amount. And it's so far different. The other units on the floor are so different than mine that it's not a comparable. I'm saying it's apples and oranges.
The one that you showed us is the only one that sold. Is that correct?
In my building. Yeah, the other one was like a similar price, but a huge, you know, the same kind of a thing. It's like those units inside are immaculate. You know, they're just not the same.
Well, 1027 was or was not like yours.
It is not like mine. It's a corner unit. It's got balconies. It's got more bathrooms, more bedrooms. If you look at some of these photos, see, like, here's my countertop. It's that cheap granite that's leftover stuff that they slice up and polish. You know, my countertops are like old laminate kind of stuff. You know, all those kinds of things. My flooring is the cheapest thing you can find. You know, that's what happens to my, you know, it's not real wood. You know, you can see the, and if you jump down to like, here's 1027's kitchen, single slab, countertops, really nice backsplash. You can tell here, like with the view, you can see that they've got like massive windows and things like that. And this looks like real hardwood floor, at least a really high end flooring, things like that. This is like 1022s again, the big single slab.
Where's the pictures of yours?
Right here. So like my cabinet or my countertop is like these tile things, these really cheap tile things. All of the units on my floor, every single one of them is either when my condominium was built, the people who were the first purchasers had the option of having just the basic grade build or an upgraded build. Everyone on the floor at least had the upgraded build. I know that in certain cases, several of these have been upgraded since then over and above that. So mine is like the lowest building materials that you can possibly have. And like one, let's see, over here was upgraded, sold, and then upgraded again before the people who live there now moved in. For example, 1027 has been upgraded at least once. Sorry, I'm scrolling around. So I mean, they're just not the same. They're not, you know, they're just not the same kind of a thing. And then I just want to say, you know, like, I'm probably, you know, not going to, you know, get very far because, you know, I'm just going to have to wait until I go bankrupt, I guess. But the thing is that what I did find last year, what I was also saying, and I just want to throw this out here, is the cost tables. What I did on the cost tables was I put in a public records request, and I actually got some sort of answers. Last year I said, look, you know, all of this craziness is probably caused by something where, because my unit is by far the smallest unit on the floor, there's some sort of tipping point where the values for my unit, so there's this one size fits all by the county. My unit is different because it's smaller. So what I did is I got a public records request for the cost tables. And what happens is they look like what I got from the county is this. So we have a spreadsheet. Oh, wait, I have to share it with you. Sorry. Oh, wrong one. Sorry. I'm not familiar with WebEx very much. Uh-oh. I might need some help. How do I get back to where I can share something different?
Is this something you gave us in your packet? Because we can just look at it in your packet.
Oh, boy. You know what happened is that I got this so late, I don't think I could. Well, the kind of, sort of, yeah. You can't see the, yeah. If you look in the appendix 5.
Yeah, I have it right here in front of me.
Yeah, I was going to show some of the calculations, but that's okay. Yep, you're right. Sorry, I'm panicking. So this shows my condominium, and it's a series. There's a series of small calculations, small spreadsheet things that happen here. So there's this condo inner VG ranch value. I highlighted that in blue because almost every number on all of the units on all of the floors are all of the same values except for a few places where they're different. And so eventually what I just figured out about 3 days ago, so that's why I couldn't include some of this in this conversation officially, is that what the county's doing on these first two sets of in this table, but you get down to that area subtotal number of 263,801, this is a replacement cost. They're an attempt to make a replacement cost estimate for my condominium. Or for any of the condominiums on this, anyway. And if you go back to the top right little section there, they start with this replacement cost new, and then they make some depreciation numbers and some percentages and things like that. And so they get an improvement detail adjusted value of 231,346, which they plug into the next section down on the bottom right corner. And here's where the rubber meets the road on my assessment every year. In the biggest way, the biggest impact is that they have a VVC view of $100,000. And what the county's claiming is that my view is worth $100,000. Because my square footage is so small, when they start doing these calculations of 150% and 132% and all that kind of stuff to get to this massive, massive unrealistic number of $553,500, is that my condo jacks up almost 50% just from that one calculation. Okay, so its assessed value jumps almost 50% because of that one calculation for the $100,000 view penalty, okay? Whereas my neighbor's units being larger, their numbers are like down around like 10% or 15%. And so that's why my unit is so drastically different than the rest of the units on my floor. And you can kind of see that if you go up, there's a the following images in illustrate the discussion. Oh, there's where the numbers are. Yeah, so like 1022 has a $40,000 view, and that's a 9%. Mine is like 1025 has a 25% increase. Mine is a 43% increase due to the view. And my contention is that this is unfair, because when you start looking at the table that's below the highlighted blue, it says the following images illustrate the above discussion. You can see right there, if we go over to the far right, that not even all of the units on my floor have the same view value. And in fact, the two units with by far the best view, 1022 and 1024, which are across the hall from me, only have a $40,000 view penalty increase. The fixture count, 1020 doesn't appear to have any fixtures in it for replacement cost. It's a small number, but I mean, it looks like that might be an error. And the local cost modifier is really weird, because the corner units have the smallest increase in value when the corner unit should have the largest increase in value. Lastly, if you look at the first two columns, the 1021, 1022, with the numbers like a 115.56. My unit has the second highest starting value for replacement value cost when it's the smallest unit on the floor. Again, that makes no sense. So the bottom line is, the cost tables have errors in them, and that is why we're having this discussion. Okay? My unit's going to increase in price by a huge amount every year, no matter what. Oops, sorry. I get nervous. I start scrolling. But it's because of these numbers in this table do not reflect the reality of my unit compared to the rest of the units on my floor. So just as the last exercise, what I did on these, where's that at? So again, I couldn't add it in because it was too late, but what I did is I changed the condo inner ranch value to the lowest value of my neighbors. So it was like the 98.67. And since my view was so poor compared to the rest of my neighbors, I put in a cost, a VVC view of $30,000 for the VVC view, which is more indicative. And just lo and behold, that came out to like almost exactly $405,000, which is the same value that I proposed as the realistic appraisal should be for my unit, or, you know, assessment should be for my unit. The way I got to that first 405,108 is to simply take the lowest square footage, price per square foot of all of the units on my floor, subtract $5 per square foot, making it the least desirable condo. So in other words, the least expensive condominium on the floor, and multiply that by my square footage, which gave me the 405. So coming at it from two different points of view, one very simplistic, one very explicit about why the county's method of evaluating my property is wrong, we come to the same value of $405,000. And when we go back and look at what I'm assuming what the county would like to see, oh, if we go back to the original, how do I move this? I would guess that what the county would like to see, if they're trying to be fair and accurate, would be charts like this, where the thick blue line looks like everyone else, and the price value increase looks just like everyone else.
That's why I think you should take some of this to the assessor's office. See if you can schedule a meeting with Peter Van Nortwick.
I can try again.
Okay. I understand that now. You're using their cost model and making some minor adjustments to it to get to the value you come up with.
I don't have any further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I understand what your point is now when you talk about the cost model. That makes more sense than the rest of it. But please compare to market values in the future. I understand what you're saying in terms of evaluation. And they sent you this information?
Yes.
Well, you're lucky because they don't usually even respond.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Wow, I'm amazed.
Yeah, I kind of went through a back door because I went through the public records, and so they may not realize that they gave this up to me.
Okay, because if you call them directly, they don't give you anything, and they don't respond. They don't come to the hearings.
Nope.
Most of the time, they don't give any information, and you're just left totally on your own.
Exactly. That's why I didn't go to the county again, because they've pretty much rebuffed every effort that I've made to try to be reasonable about this.
I don't have any questions on it either. I've reviewed all of this information and listened to it. I don't have any questions that at the moment. So,
all right.
Well, thanks for listening.
I will definitely make mention in the report that there appears to be inconsistencies in the reporting, and we'll decide how we want to value this.
Okay. Yeah, I just wish there were comparables that I could use. That's my final statement. They're just not, they're mansions and I'm not a mansion. So it's really hard to have any other way to say it. So, all right. Well, I want to also thank you very much for being able to be a way that someone like me can at least air my grievances, because I really do appreciate the fact that you actually give your time to this.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Let's see. How do I stop this? This way?
Okay, and then Dan, I'll have you close it.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 6, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 512 for property ID 211-914-000. The property is owned by Andre Walker and Stephanie Walker. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I'll hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Lisa?
I said no questions at the same time John did. I have to start using a deeper, louder voice.
Cool. No, hold up the phone.